Good afternoon. Today we're going to speak a little bit about how to relate to, how to deal skillfully with the current situation in the world. We find ourselves restricted in our homes. We can't mix with others like we're so used to. We can't go where we want and in the groups that we enjoy, and as well as a number of different changes to our behavior. So today we're going to talk a little bit about these changes and how to deal with them skillfully. Due to the pandemic in the world at the moment, the number of results have come from that. So if we consider the pandemic itself as a cause, the results of that have been so many people have lost their lives. And right now in the world, there are many in critical situations who are potentially going to die. There are also so many who are ill, perhaps seriously ill, fearing whether they will be able to heal or not. And then, of course, there are their loved ones who have recently lost those that they care for, or who face losing those that they care for. And then, of course, not only has the pandemic impacted so many people in terms of health concerns, but also then the financial concerns that have resulted from this, where people have lost their livelihoods, or are unemployed, or lost their businesses, or face losing their businesses. And so many who face severe financial concerns, are not sure how they can meet their financial obligations, how they can care for their loved ones. So there's a lot of worry and concern that has resulted from the cause being this pandemic in the world. For all these and the many other worries and concerns and difficulties in the world right now, these are results that have come from a cause, and the primary cause is the pandemic. How then to eliminate the cause of all these problems? Well, if the cause is the pandemic, it's medicine and a vaccination that is required to eradicate the pandemic. Other than as something coming from the scientific and the medical community, that is really where the solution needs to come from the scientific and medical communities.
Now,
this pandemic, it's that it spreads throughout our world. It cannot be stopped by weapons. It cannot be stopped by wealth. No matter how wealthy or well physically protected an individual or nation is, they can't protect themselves through wealth and weapons alone from this pandemic. Weapons are very effective for destroying life and destroying what us as a human society have created. But it cannot destroy these tiny particles that construct a virus. These cannot be destroyed by weapons, nor can someone's individual wealth protect one from these tiny particles, from this virus. From the Buddhist perspective, all impermanent phenomena, being impermanent or compounded, are a coming together of causes that have given rise to a result, and that result immediately changes. They are impermanent. So everything that's compounded or impermanent has come about independent on causes and conditions, and therefore will cease. So whether it's life, whether it's material resources, everything that is compounded or impermanent has come from causes. And when those causes weaken, then that impermanent phenomena, such as life or resources, starts to fade away, disintegrate, and will eventually cease.
If we then take as an illustration
our material world. So let's think of, say, agriculture or our gardens. So we know if we want to plant something, whether it's a crop or something in our gardens, we require a particular seed, the particular seed for the kind of plant or crop that we wish to grow. But we know that a seed alone, or the primary cause alone, will not lead to the required result, the required plant, if that's all we have. So not just the cause, but the required contributing conditions. These are also required to ensure that that seed can ripen into and grow into the desired crop or plant. So for example, the time, the period of time is also important. One needs to plant the respective seed at the correct time of year. If one plants it at the wrong time of the year, then the climate will be wrong. It'll be too hot, or be too cold, or too dry, or too wet. So the time also needs to be correct. And this is one of the contributing conditions that is required for the primary cause to result, to ripen and give rise to the desired result.
그러니까
for a cause to give rise to its respective results, and that's a better way to say it rather than desired results, its respective results, then it requires a number of specific conditions, one being the right time, and secondly, in the illustration of a seed, water is required, moisture is required. But again, these conditions need to be precise. They can't just be rough. They have to be precise. If boiling water is poured onto a seed, that is likely to harm the seed. Or if the water is icy cold, that may too harm the seed. It needs to be the correct amount and the correct temperature. The conditions need to be precise to aid the ripening of the seed, of the cores.
Mm-hmm. On the name that I'm going chi ngobakye la saban nyugo da denegi kyewa la kuguyuna dene kuguyo banza dina shi nga zu nang la ya nga zu ya chik dunga kyea da nga zu dunga yong ya an digi yong ya an chik denegi chasang tizu dunga yong ya di gyu da kien mongpo chuk tsoba la dine yung kukure diyan ki si kien diyan kien gyu da kien tunba shi kukur ma di kien da kien mi tunba zam ye kikyo ma re dina shi dewa chi nga zu nyongwa ina ya では、で、では、で、では、で、では、で、では、で、では、で、では、で、では、で、では、で、では、で、では、で、では、で、では、で、では、で、では、で、では、で、では、で、では、で、では、で、では、で、では、で、では、で、では、で、では、で、では、で、では、で、では、で、では、で、では、で、では、で、では、で、では、で、では、で、では、で、では、で、では、で、では、で、では、で、では、で、では、で、では、で、では、で、では、で、では、で、では、で、では、で、では、で、では、で、では、で、では、で、では、で、では、で、では、で、では、で、では、で、では、で、では、で、では、で、では、で、では、で、では、で、では、で、では、で、では、で、では、で、では、で、では、で、では、で、では、で、では、で、では、で、では、で、では、で、では、で、では、で、では、で、では、で、では、で、では、で、では、で、では、で、では、で、では、で、では、で、では、で、では、で、では、で、では、で、では、で、では、で、では、で、では、で、では、で、では、で、では、で、では、で、
process is quite easy to understand in the material world, hence this is where we start. For a result to come about, a cause is required, but a cause alone is insufficient to lead to its respective result. It requires specific conditions, and those conditions too need to be complete. They need to be correct and complete. And when you have this, the cause, with all its respective conditions, the result will follow. So this we can understand through many illustrations in the material world. And it's good to start there because it's easy to understand. But what is of particular importance to us from the Buddhist perspective is the inner world. And the workings of the inner world are the same. From a cause comes a particular result, independent on the correct and complete conditions being accumulated as well, or the cause coming into contact with the correct and complete conditions as well. Undesired suffering, suffering results, unwanted results, come about independent on a cause, and that cause having come into contact or met the correct and complete conditions. When that happens, the cause surrounded by or coming into contact with the correct and complete conditions, it results in unwanted situations, in suffering, in pain, in misery. Similarly, with the happiness that we all desire, happiness is a result. It comes about independent on a corresponding cause. A specific corresponding cause, just like suffering comes about independent on its own specific cause. But having causes for happiness is insufficient to experience the result that is happiness. The causes of happiness need to come into contact with the correct and complete conditions, and then that cause can ripen and mature into the experience of happiness. So therefore, the process of the outer and the inner world is the same. And then the drepu de Now returning then to the topic at hand, dealing with the suffering that is being experienced due to the pandemic in the world. So if someone, for example, is slightly or gravely ill, then that is a suffering experience. So this is a result. Their illness and their suffering is a result. This result came from a cause which met its correct and complete conditions, and therefore the cause could ripen and ripen into the suffering experience of illness. So the cause was contaminated karma that had been accumulated, that the person had accumulated in a previous life. That is the root cause, negative or contaminated karma that had previously been accumulated. It then met the required conditions, such as in general we could say the pandemic itself, and this pandemic then was the conditions required to ripen this particular cause, and now suffering is experienced, the suffering of illness. For the ripening condition, which is the pandemic, to be able to be part of the process that leads to the result of the suffering of illness requires a cause, such as previously accumulated contaminated aggregates, contaminated karma, and also, though, requires the causes that have led to a person having aggregates which are contaminated themselves, physical and mental aggregates which are contaminated. If someone does not have contaminated aggregates, they will not, the pandemic will not lead to the ripening of any negative karma, and they will therefore not experience the suffering of illness. Whereas ourselves, our aggregates, our physical and mental aggregates, these are contaminated. They come about independent on contaminated karma that we've accumulated in the past. And therefore, we are susceptible to the impact of the pandemic. We are susceptible to the condition, which is the pandemic, being a condition that will facilitate the ripening of previously accumulated negative karma, giving rise to the result of illness. So therefore, a further crucial component is not just that there's previously accumulated negative karma and the condition of the pandemic, but also that one has contaminated mental and physical aggregates as well. So therefore, this is a crucial component that one has contaminated aggregates. Contaminated aggregates have come about independent on the accumulation of contaminated karma, which itself came about independent on the afflicted minds. Acting under the influence of the afflicted minds, then contaminated karma was accumulated, and this ripens in contaminated aggregates, physical and mental aggregates. And this serves as the basis upon which we experience suffering. Having achieved these, attained these contaminated physical and mental aggregates, and having a large store of negative karma, when that negative karma meets the condition, which is the pandemic, it can ripen within our contaminated aggregates, and then we experience suffering. We experience suffering then through the ripening of this feeling of suffering. And that is how we experience the suffering of illness. So there's this whole chain that is required in order to experience the result of illness. The negative karma, karmic imprint, contaminated aggregates, the condition that is the pandemic, and therefore we can experience the ripening of the suffering feeling, which is illness, our experience of illness. the mere presence of the condition of the pandemic, as well as having having contaminated aggregates, those two alone do not lead to this experience of suffering. One isn't necessarily suffering if one has contaminated aggregates and the pandemic is surrounding oneself. There needs to be a further step, and that is because suffering is a feeling, so it's consciousness. That consciousness is impermanent. It needs to therefore ripen from a cause. And that cause then is found on our mental continuum. In other words, the potency that can ripen into the feeling of suffering abides on our mental continuum, or is found on, abides on our mental continuum. That, it's a ripening of that potency on our mental continuum that leads to the experience of suffering, the feeling of suffering. For that to ripen, we need to we would have contaminated mental aggregates. That's where it abides. And we need to come into contact with the pandemic. So to be very precise, our experience of the suffering our experience of suffering is a feeling of suffering, which is consciousness. Consciousness then is the ripening of a potency which abides on our mental continuum. And this is ripened through the coming together of conditions, such as encountering the pandemic. So therefore, it's imperative that in order to experiencing the feeling of suffering, one has to have the potency on one's continuum to that can ripen into the suffering experience, the feeling of suffering. If one lacks this, one cannot experience suffering. So it's important to be clear that there are many components here, all of which are required for one to suffer. There needs to be the cause, the required conditions, as well as this potency on one's continuum. If any of these are missing, if one lacks the cause, doesn't meet the conditions, or lacks this potency on one's continuum, there will not be a result of suffering. So for example, an Arya Bodhisattva, should their physical body be slashed or a limb amputated, they won't experience any physical illness or suffering because they lack the seed on their continuum for suffering. There is no a potency to ripen any negative karma for them to experience suffering. So this is the case for an Arya Bodhisattva.
So 요르데 다든가 저 동화마제 이가선 기인지 태요 말에 지나데 별로 쉬지 가블야 한 동화지요 말에 있는 거는 저기 동화지 기인지 마체 반자 아니 동화지 마체 와 기에 규요르데 이네 동화마제 와래 지산 기인지 델량아 저 삽다가 잠자지 쉬베네 람사 아니 야 카프 직수 샤바이네 남자 안 디진도 동화 기억으로 와. 지난 기인지 태어도 동화 기억으로. 기인지 마태나 동화 기억이 규여받나야. 사본 규여받나야. 안 동화 기억으로 말이지.
Not being Arya Bodhisattvas, our position is somewhat different. So if we're sitting somewhere quietly, relaxing, quite peaceful, we can be certain though that on our continuum, there is the potency to suffer abides. But if we don't come into contact with a full and complete conditions that are required for that potency to ripen, we're not going to be suffering. We will be suffering will not be manifest within us. We will just be sitting there quietly, relaxing. However, as soon as those conditions, we do encounter those conditions, that potency will ripen and our situation will change and we will no longer be sitting there quietly, peacefully, but now we will be experiencing suffering. To summarize this, we can look at the opposite situation. Could we focus now on suffering? Let's talk about what we do want, and that is happiness. So happiness is a feeling, it's a consciousness, and therefore it's impermanent, comes about independent of causes. So to experience the result that is a feeling of happiness, one requires the cause for happiness. One requires a cause for happiness. But not only a cause. Or that cause for it to ripen needs to meet full and complete conditions. So again, we'll take the external world. It's easy to understand. If it's cold weather like it is today, and we're shivering a little bit, so we're experiencing the suffering feeling, the feeling of suffering. But as soon as we feel warm sunlight on our skin, then our body starts to warm up, and we experience no longer the feeling of suffering, but the feeling of pleasure or the feeling of happiness. So what we have here is the potency or the cause for happiness on our continuum. But that merely abiding on our continuum doesn't mean we are experiencing happiness, because now we're cold. But as soon as we meet the required conditions, warm sunlight, that potency then can ripen, the cause can ripen because it's met the required conditions, and now our experience is transformed. We're now experiencing pleasure or happiness. So this process is the same, whether the result is unwanted suffering or desired happiness. We require a seed and conditions. If either are missing, the result will not come about. If you meet particular conditions but lack the seed, no result. If you have the seed but don't meet the conditions, no result. So we need both the seed and the conditions for the result of either happiness or suffering to come about. To present it again, just to make sure it's clear, we already on our continuum have a vast store of previously accumulated imprints, these potencies. So these we already have. For them, though, to ripen, they have to meet the required conditions. And as soon as the required conditions are encountered or are met, the result ripens. So we all already on our continuum have many potencies that have the potential, or seeds that have the potential to ripen into unwanted suffering. And the reason they are not all ripening right now is because despite having these seeds, we have not met the required conditions. But as soon as we do, that potency will ripen into the experience of suffering, the feeling of suffering. So therefore, whether one is afflicted by the illness of this pandemic depends on whether the cause on one's continuum and the condition of the pandemic, these two have come together or not. If someone has these imprints, these potencies, if they encounter the condition of the pandemic, it will ripen, they'll be ill. But if either of those are missing, encountering or meeting the condition of the pandemic, coming into contact, in other words, with the virus, or if the potency is lacking from one's continuum, one will not become ill. So these are, in order to experience the illness, one needs to encounter the condition, which is the virus, as well as have the relevant seed on one's continuum. If either of those are missing, the result will not be experienced. As ordinary beings, we almost certainly will have the causes to suffer in this way on our continuum. So we would have in past lives accumulated the causes that can ripen in the suffering of this illness. But to prevent those previously accumulated causes from ripening, we need to ensure we do not meet the ripening conditions. In other words, we ensure we do not come into contact with the virus. Because if we don't encounter or meet the ripening conditions, then the potencies on our continuum will not be able to ripen. So therefore, we are advised by scientific and medical experts and our governments not to socially isolate, to wash our hands, not touch our faces and so forth, so as not to encounter the virus, and then to express it in Buddhist terms, and thereby not encounter the ripening conditions which will ripen the our previously accumulated negative imprints.
With this understanding, we can better understand then the situation in the world right now. That when the causes that abide in one's continuum meet the ripening conditions of the virus, then one becomes ill. And depending on the strength of the conditions and the strength of the cause that has been the potency that has ripened, will have an impact on the result that will come about as well, of course, as other conditions such as the physical strength of the patient, as well as other conditions such as the medical treatment they are or are not able to receive. And therefore, in dependence on this mixture of a cause, the potency that has been on the continuum of the patient that has been ripened, and the variety of conditions such as meeting the virus, the condition that is their physical health, the underlying conditions at the time, the medical treatment that they receive or do not receive, and so forth, they either heal or they suffer under this illness for a prolonged period, or possibly even pass away. So this then is the interplay of a cause and a variety of ripening conditions that lead to the varying results.
And 대원녀야기
So, in our world, there are many highly trained and skilled medical practitioners and research scientists who are able to care for those afflicted by illness. And it's we have great hope that should ourselves, our loved ones, or anyone become ill, that these skilled medical practitioners will be able to care for them well, and scientists will be able to come up with further medical procedures and treatments that can aid this process. So there we can look with appreciation for what is being done in the world. But where we need to look in terms of how to eliminate the causes that will lead to suffering in its first place, there we looking towards science and medical practitioners is not where we're going to find the answers. There we need to look at the most skilled of doctors, Buddha Shakyamuni. It was him who taught what are the causes and conditions that lead to suffering, as well as how to reduce their strength and even eliminate them entirely. Buddha Shakyamuni alone taught this. And what he taught, the techniques he taught in brief, was accumulate virtue. If we express it just in the briefest way, the technique is accumulate virtue. So all of us on our continuum, we have huge stores of potencies that can ripen in suffering. Those potencies came about in dependence on our afflicted minds. In dependence on the strength as well as the frequency of our afflicted minds, we have potencies that will ripen in suffering, potencies of a variety of strength and magnitude. And that strength or that magnitude is dependent on the strength and frequency of the afflicted minds that led to the potencies that have the potential to ripen in suffering being placed on our continuum. The stronger these potencies are in our continuum, the more likely we are to suffer, the more readily suffering will be encountered. But knowing this is important because it also shows that those potencies, if they are weaker, then when they ripen, the suffering will be weaker and be less frequent. And how then? How then are weaker potencies placed on our continuum? They come from weaker afflicted minds, less frequent afflicted minds. So this is important to recognize. And then the companion to this, if this is the process of non-virtue, afflicted minds leading to the potencies for suffering placed on our continuum, this then too is the case for the contrary minds, virtuous minds. The stronger and more frequent our virtuous minds are, the stronger and of greater magnitude our potencies for happiness are on our continuum. Recognizing that, then, it's clear that we need to apply ourselves to the techniques that the Buddha taught. Accumulate virtue. Through accumulating virtue, which means having virtuous minds, we accumulate the potencies that will ripen in happiness, and they serve to weaken and reduce in strength the potencies that will otherwise ripen in
suffering. 사와디 아니 뉴버충주저 그 차랑이디 직축권이 굉장히 미친 바지 그 직축처를 직 뉴버처를 아직 뉴버처를 직 뉴버충주야 되고 랑신기 때문에 차되고 그러고 니 나신 나도 디버스야 되다 개와스야 니디 다 디버단 개와스야 돼 나도 삼루 돈에 주고 그래 삼루 돈에 주면 마듯이 치료 그 돈에 주야 매래 지난 삼로 다이트에 제 삼로 다이트에 기회 삼로 데까지 슈처 따베네 디베 삼로 마 슈충충 주고래 디베 삼로 도 슈처 가제 슈처 조 망아 슈처 뉴베처 주고나 먼저 기회 삼로 슈충 주고로와 데니 해상 아 저기 기회 삼로 데까지 슈처 따베네 아니 기회기 마오바나 대와지에게 사본지 뉴베지 슈처 주고래 지난 대화계에게 뉴버드 삼로가지 슈처로 뉴버드 슈처로 바이나 동아계에게 뉴버드 마슈충으로 고르 도고로 와 지난 디니 인자 땅아는 저기 동아계에게 뉴버드 매바셔야라 맞아 계속 죽고고리 했어요 다 개월 죽고고리 디버드 파빵 고고리 했어 디버 빵 파빵 아니 개월 죽 디 제디 맞아 저기 아주 그라 마오바나 동아녀에게 큐 사바디 마 뉴버충 다야디 계속 죽게 되래스 但我们的话,我们的话,我们的话,我们的话,我们的话,我们的话,我们的话,我们的话,我们的话,我们的话,我们的话,我们的话,我们的话,我们的话,我们的话,我们的话,我们的话,我们的话,我们的话,我们的话,我们的话,我们的话,我们的话,我们的话,我们的话,我们的话,我们的话,我们的话,我们的话,我们的话,我们的话,我们的话,我们的话,我们的话,我们的话,我们的话,我们的话,我们的话,我们的话,我们的话,我们的话,我们的话,我们的话,我们的话,我们的话,我们的话,我们的话,我们的话,我们的话,我们的话,我们的话,我们的话,我们的话,我们的话,我们的话,我们的话,我们的话,我们的话,我们的话,我们的话,我们的话,我们的话,我们的话,我们的话,我们的话,我们的话,我们的话,我们的话,我们的话,我们的话,我们的话,我们的话,我们的话,我们的话,我们的话,我们的话,我们的 nubadi, nubashu chal tangores, dunga nyayag nubadi mashu chun tangores, chesa dunga nyayag nubadi shu chun tangala, ko dunga yegi ju ledan kasoreku, nyoma kasore, dibadi ma pangore, kosumi diba pangore, ma sem pang, sungores, chesada, nazu kewe jawadi, shu chal tangores, samla tang, peche, shu chal tangores, shu chal tangwaina, dinik,
The easiest way to understand this is to think about temperature. So when it's a little warm, then we can maybe just open the window and we'll cool down. If it's really hot, that's insufficient. We need to do something more. We need to turn on the air conditioning. Likewise with cold. If it's a little cold, well, we can put on another layer and that will solve the problem. When it's colder, we need to turn on the heater. And when it's really cold, we need to turn on the heater and wear a blanket. So what we're seeing here is that the stronger something is in one direction, the greater effort we need to apply to overcome it. And this is exactly the same as the process that we're talking about here. The more effort one puts into accumulating virtue, the weaker the contrary minds of non-virtue will be. So in our inner world, our way of thinking can be more inclined towards virtuous ways of thinking or non-virtuous ways of thinking. The stronger we cultivate virtuous minds, in other words, the more habituated we are to a virtuous way of thinking, that is what we all become naturally inclined to. This means not only are we experiencing more happiness because it's virtue that tends to dominate us, but it serves to ensure that it's less likely non-virtue will ripen, and the non-virtue that we already have on our continuum, that will naturally start to weaken. And furthermore, we will be much less inclined to accumulate further non-virtue. So therefore, one is encouraged here to put our energy into developing virtuous minds, positive minds, because we have the imprint or the potencies of both on our continuum. Whichever dominates our way of thinking, whichever ripens more spontaneously and readily in a variety of circumstances, tends to be what we're more habituated to. So knowing this gives us some power, because we can do something about our situation. We can focus on ensuring our minds are virtuous, thereby our physical and verbal behaviors are virtuous, developing our habituation to virtue, weakening thereby our habituation to non-virtue, weakening the strength of the potencies of non-virtue on our continuum, meaning it's much less likely suffering will ripen, or when it does, it'll be weaker and will not abide for lengthy periods. So therefore, it's imperative we turn ourselves to virtue, cultivating minds for virtue.
ཁྱི ཕྱད མམ གསུམ 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 ཁྱི ཕྱད མམ གསུམ 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 sorwa jina dine ge jene nga zu ge ki chu chu ko de di sorwa
wanting to experience only happiness to be freed from suffering then from what's been presented it's clear we need to apply ourselves to virtue to accumulate virtuous imprints on our continuum become habituated to this way of thinking and behaving and doing so will ensure that through an abundance of powerful seeds of happiness it is happiness that we will experience then and so the accumulation of virtue is done through our body our speech and primarily our mind our way of thinking first then we think of ethical restraint which is the commitment to not harm others through our way of physically behaving, our verbal communication, or even our way of thinking. So the mind of ethical restraint is a mind that restrains itself from going in a direction of harm. And this is expressed then, not only mentally, but also physically. For example, through making prostrations, offerings of water bowls. It's also expressed verbally, such as through reciting mantras or prayers. And it's cultivated through study and reflection on topics such as love and compassion. And in this way, one accumulates vast stores of virtue.
ཁྱི
Hopefully now it's very clear the need to accumulate vast stores of virtue. And now we have an opportunity to do so because our movements are so restricted. All these activities that have kept us so busy, we now largely cannot engage in many of these because we are confined to our homes. So we use this opportunity now to reflect on the wide varieties of sufferings that beings are experiencing. What's most apparent, and the topic of this talk, is the sufferings from the pandemic, both through of death, of illness, and of financial worries. And we can use these
as a use of suffering that so many beings are experiencing right now as a cause for us to accumulate huge stores of virtue. Generating compassion for the suffering that beings are experiencing. Generating love for them, wanting them to be freed of the suffering and experience only happiness, in particular lasting, stable happiness. Reflecting on the suffering that we know others are experiencing, naturally the thought will come, may they be freed of the suffering. May they heal. May they quickly heal. May their financial woes be overcome. Moreover, with this awareness that these impermanent situations have come about independent of causes and conditions, may beings no longer accumulate such causes. May they no longer encounter ripening conditions. Rather, may beings only accumulate causes that lead to happiness and encounter the conditions that ripen those causes. And we can reflect on this in terms of the pandemic, but also all the other variety of sufferings in the world that not only humans, but animals too are experiencing. And in this way, generating love and compassion for those that we know and are unknown to us, we can generate vast stores of virtue. In the same meditation, we reflect that so many beings have already died, others are going to soon pass. And so these beings are in the process of, or either about to enter the process of taking a new rebirth, or are within that process. And here we can, in our meditation, express the strong aspiration. May all beings, without exception, only achieve good rebirth. May they achieve, in fact, the very best of rebirths. Not just a human rebirth, but a precious human rebirth. A rebirth where they come under the direct care of a Mahayana spiritual teacher. They recognize him as such, have great interest in the Buddha Dharma, train themselves in the cultivation of the Buddha Dharma, living their life under the influence of a kind heart, a gentle heart. And in this way, may they experience happiness, may they bring happiness into the lives of others, may the world become a better place. In this way, too, we generate strong aspiration for others to be freed of pain, to be freed of suffering, but experience lasting, stable happiness. So in our meditation, we generate strong wish for beings to be freed of suffering, both on a temporary level, but also to progress to a state where they are completely liberated from suffering in its entirety. We make this aspiration for those who have passed from this life and are progressing to or have achieved the next rebirth, for those who are facing imminent death, and those who remain, their loved ones who remain behind, or those who are suffering due to financial woe. We generate the aspiration
May all these obstacles be overcome. In particular, may all beings, whether they have passed or pass soon, or there's still time in this life, may each and every future rebirth only be a good rebirth, a rebirth under the direct care and influence and guidance of a Mahayana spiritual teacher. Having generated this motivation within ourselves, we then can perhaps set up some offerings, and certainly, having visualized generously before us, now we can recite the Mani Mantra or Mani Padme Hum. And these days we have some more time on our hands than we usually do. We have less activities that consume our time. So whatever number of mantras we can recite, we should do so. But recite them though under the influence of this motivation of love for others, of compassion for others. And in this way, we can use this opportunity that has unexpectedly come away, this opportunity of less busyness, to accumulate vast stores of mantra, or vast numbers of mantra, but in particular, accumulating them under the influence of the minds of love and compassion that we have generated in this way. In this motivation that I've briefly outlined, we develop further in the ways that have been presented many times in the past, generating bodhicitta, which is where we make the commitment to strive in our practice, such as now this meditation with the recitation of the Mani Mantra, to accumulate virtue so that we can quickly become a Buddha. And become a Buddha so that we can become the most skilled of guides, a guide who can lead others skillfully away from the accumulation of causes for suffering, but rather guide them skillfully to the accumulation of causes for happiness. So we engage in this practice now for the sake of all sentient beings without exception, seeing that this is our contribution to all those who are both known as well as those who are unknown to us. This is our contribution to ease them from suffering, guide them to happiness. This then is a skillful way to utilizing the pandemic in the world and all this, the resulting suffering as a basis for our meditation on love and compassion. And having generated love and compassion, we then accumulate ever more virtue through the recitation of the Mani Mantra under the influence, or whilst having this motivation of love and compassion manifest within us. And the more mantras we recite whilst under the influence of this motivation, the greater the store of virtue it is that we will accumulate. And if you then, we tie this back now to what we looked at the beginning of the talk, the impact is that we will be placing ever more a powerful imprint of virtue on our continuum.
a greater store of virtue on our continuum, which means we have ever greater imprints that will ripen in happiness in the future. That is one immediate outcome that we are accumulating, the causes for happiness in the future. And in conjunction with this, as a natural byproduct, is as we increase this vast store of virtue within us, it serves to weaken our previously accumulated negative imprints. As our virtue grows, proportionately, our previously accumulated non-virtue weakens, meaning it's much less likely to ripen, which means we're less likely to get angry or frustrated, annoyed, or desirous or jealous. Moreover, should those imprints ripen, because they have been weakened so, they won't be powerful, nor will they abide for long, remain for long. So these are some of the great benefits that will come from engaging in this meditation, increasing our virtue, weakening our non-virtue, being happier now, having less suffering now, and certainly in our future lives, our spiritual progression will be greatly aided. Now let's move on and address a point here that one may have the doubt that whilst I can understand the benefit that comes from meditating on love and compassion and using the pandemic as our as the basis for this meditation and give rise to certainly a sincere aspiration that may the pandemic and all the results in suffering come to an end, well, what benefit actually comes to others from this? So now let's look at that that doubt that may well arise.
Now gibi tane pandor yoktu pandor tuttu var va
this such a doubt or such a qualm it actually makes some sense to have it to have such a qualm so therefore it's good to look at and gain clarity on this because hearing this teaching now, watching the news and having thoughts of love and compassion arising for others, or sitting on our cushion and engaging in this meditation and generating love and compassion for others, wishing for others to be freed of pain and difficulty, well, we know that doesn't solve the world's problems. It will not lead to the pandemic suddenly coming to an end and all those who are ill healing and so forth. And the reason for that is as was expressed at the beginning of today's talk, that the beings that having accumulated the causes and those causes having met the required conditions and the result having ripened, then that is the situation that beings find themselves in, and that is how things are right now. So what we are doing on our mental continuum cannot change that. However, just because through the power of our meditation we can't heal the world of its ills immediately, definitely does not mean that there is no benefit. So first let's talk about the benefit that comes to the meditator, because this is so apparent. For us engaging in such a meditation, there is immediate, direct benefit. In the meditation, we experience greater happiness, peace of heart. And through becoming habituated to this way of thinking, in other words, doing this meditation repeatedly over a sustained period, we become more kind-hearted. And this comes about through becoming more habituated to love and compassion. And becoming habituated to love and compassion means these attainments become more stable within us. We go through our day more kind, more consistently kind-hearted. In other words, whatever we encounter, our natural response is governed by a gentle approach. So this is an immediate benefit to us. We experience greater happiness and we interact with events very differently. Then what about others? Well, there's a benefit to others too. So the direct impact is on our own continuum, but it's through this transformation, this mental development, the spiritual development within us, that we impact others in the short term as well as in the long term. So how does our mental development, our spiritual development, indirectly benefit others in the short term? That's most apparent on those that we live with, and also those that we encounter in our wider community. Because as we spiritually develop, through our process of inner transformation, we start to impact or interact with others in a different way. Our gentleness, our kind nature that is being developed, this becomes apparent to others. They observe this in our behavior. They experience this through our verbal communication. Moreover, they also observe this through how we now relate to life's difficulties and life's challenges, because through our spiritual development, what overwhelmed us before no longer does. And thereby, those in our immediate circle, such as our family, those in our wider community seeing this transformation, will turn to us for advice and guidance, independence on seeing our inner transformation. And thereby, our advice will have a greater impact on them. So this is how indirectly we can have an impact on those around us, on our community. And that's the short-term development. That comes about right now and in this lifetime. But moreover, through this growing store of virtue, this powerful virtue that we're accumulating on our continuum, we are rapidly developing progressing towards the cultivation of actual bodhicitta and arising as a bodhisattva, and thereby Buddhahood itself coming ever closer, which means as we progress spiritually from lifetime to lifetime, we will have an ever greater beneficial impact on the lives of others. So therefore, in the short term, as well as the long term, these meditations have a great impact on others. And to summarize what we've spoken about today, we started by looking at how all our unwanted suffering comes about independent on both causes and conditions. And we spoke about how both of these are required. If either is missing or either is incomplete, that result will not come about. And that this process is actually known in the world. So if we take the coronavirus as being the cause for one to become ill, one needs to meet various conditions, and the medical community have advised us how to avoid coming into contact with those conditions, such as meeting infected people, and thereby we need to socially distance, we need to wash our hands, and so forth. So the advice is, the process is the same. There's a cause, so beware. Do not meet the required ripening conditions. And in that way, whilst there is a cause, you will not experience the results because it cannot ripen. So the scientific advice, the medical advice, needs to be followed and followed well. However, that alone will not eliminate the root causes, which are on our continuum. Only the Buddha Dharma, only the techniques that Buddha Shakyamuni taught can deal with the inner causes. And the solution then to eliminate the inner causes in brief are accumulate virtue. To the extent that one accumulates virtue, this eradicates or weakens not the previously accumulated non-virtue, and secondly, makes it less likely we will accumulate further non-virtue. And how to do so? We spoke about this with the various meditations, but in particular, utilizing this manifest suffering that's so evident in the world to generate love and compassion for others. And once one has generated love and compassion, then engage in recitation of Mani Padme Hum, or if one prefers, prostrations or making offerings, as one prefers. And now that we have this more time on our hands, we can do this regularly, generate this motivation, and for the duration of this, for as long as that motivation is strong within us, recite manis, accumulate virtue. And in this way, as the store of virtue arises or grows within us, we will be weakening our previously accumulated non-virtue. This means, in the immediate term, we are experiencing happiness. Moreover, we will more readily experience happiness in the future because of these accumulated causes, and corresponding with this, we will experience less problems, less suffering, less difficulties, because we are weakening those previously accumulated causes that would lead to suffering. And in conjunction with this, as our virtue grows and our non-virtue weakens, not only are we spiritually progressing and developing now, but it becomes ever easier in this and future lifetimes to continue our process of spiritual progression, and that in particular attain bodhicitta and Buddhahood itself. So those are the benefits that come to us right now in this life, as well as throughout what remains of this life and our future lives. But these benefits will also be experienced by those that we encounter. So there's short-term benefits that come to those around us, in other words, those that we come into contact with in this life. As we spiritually develop, we'll have an ever greater beneficial impact on those around us. We'll cause less difficulty in the lives of others. In fact, we'll actually ease the burden of difficulty that others experience through our mere presence, through our example. And moreover, as we spiritually develop, we will have an ever greater impact on the lives of others from life to life. So in this way we see that there are short and long-term benefits to ourselves and short and long-term benefits to others too through our spiritual development. So through training in the way that's been presented here in today's talk, as well as all the other teachings that you've received, we will be able to take this situation in the world and turn it into an opportunity to live this life in a meaningful way, to generate bodhicitta within ourselves, to transform ourselves, and have an ever greater beneficial impact on others. So, thank you very much.